Thank you, Brother Zimmerman. I must confess that I'm sure there are those of you in the congregation that are much more adequate to this task than I am. And I wish you were here. The subject assigned is staff management. I'm confident that you have a number of books in your library, as I do, relative to this subject of staff management, personnel management. And they can be helpful to us as we look at them. But I found one of the most beautiful portions on this subject in the Word of God. And I'd like to read it for you. The book of Exodus, chapter 18. Moses had just completed a great victory. And the nation of Israel had come out victorious. And his father-in-law had just received the report of all that God had done. The very next day, this scene transpires. Verse number 7 of Exodus 18. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. That's good counsel. And they came into the tent. And it came to pass in the mile that Moses sat, verse 13, to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning until evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning until evening." And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me. And I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good." That was quite a reprimand after having just completed what the victory God had given to him, and particularly to take it from a father-in-law. "Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it alone. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Note the direction there, please. Verse 21. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, placing such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself. And they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people also shall go to their place in peace." As I was preparing for this subject of staff management, I must confess that I found recorded in that portion of Scripture, I believe, a divine pattern for the church today and for the manager of which we are. The definition of the manager is to control the action. To control the action. Let me state this. If there is no action, it could be because there is no manager. Leadership is power with people. Command is power over people. I believe that God wants us to be leaders and to have power with people and not to have power over people. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the Living Letters reads like this: God is not one who likes things to be disorderly and upset. He likes harmony. Be sure that everything is done properly in a good and an orderly way. I want us to look at some matters. First of all, the manager as he looks at himself, the responsibility of the manager, and then the methods of management and the responsibility that God has given to us. As pastor, having recently been superintendent, my observation of the local church level, if there's any one great resource that we as ministers of the gospel can tap to the enlargement of the kingdom of God, I believe it comes in this area of better management and staff management and the responsibilities and dispersing those responsibilities that God has given to us. Let's look first of all at this matter of the manager as we look at ourselves. He must be the example. If we're going to delegate responsibility, then we have to be that person that those who are under us can have confidence in. Let us start first of all with this matter of the spiritual. I believe that God would have us today to be that spiritual leader so that those who work with us on a day-to-day level can have confidence in us. Confidence in our walk with God. Confidence in our relationship with the Lord. Confidence that which we preach is also that which we live. I have witnessed from time to time when some pastor has become careless in his conduct, that when he endeavors to manage and endeavors to give responsibilities and also expects those to come to him because he's the leader, he has found that they go to someone else, and many times it's because the people have not the confidence in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, a leader must be one who is enthusiastic. There's something about this matter of enthusiasm that's contagious. Your staff, those that you work with, it isn't something tangible that you can put your hand on, but it's something that is conveyed to them. And they are able to capture that which you feel within your heart and life. I believe that it will not only be to the staff, but it'll also be to the congregation. It'll be to every level of the organization if they can see that you are enthusiastic, you believe in what's going to transpire, what is happening, what God wants to do. Thirdly, this matter of integrity of speech. Our staff and those that we work with must have confidence that, as the world would say, we don't talk out of both sides of our mouth. But what we say is backed by integrity of speech. And that it's backed by integrity and honesty. That we will stand behind. One of the most destroying factors is if we as managers of a staff give a directive and something goes haywire, and then if we have not the integrity to stand up and support what we did, the decision we made, even though it was wrong. Brethren and ladies, this evening I'm confident that we'll hold more respect if we admit a mistake than if we become victims of a loss of integrity, endeavoring to try to cover ourselves. The fourth thing is this matter of faith. As a leader, those that you are responsible for are looking to you for this element of faith. It's a vital element, for it's going to be that measure of faith that will move the program and do what you want God to do. If I could put it in this statement, be positive. I am confident tonight that the world in which we minister to, whether they be within the structure of the local congregation or those who we are trying to reach and those who come into the local congregation, want to hear a positive proclamation and a positive plan, a positive approach, a believing approach that what we are involved in, God is behind and God's going to see it through. I believe that. I believe that history, I believe that example will teach us that those who are positive today, and I witnessed it as superintendent, as I traveled across the district, those men that were positive in the gospel had things happening within the local church. Their people were pleased. The people were excited. They were thrilled with what God was doing and what they anticipated God to do because they had caught that spirit of believing faith and acting upon that. Number five, there must be a dedication within the heart of the leader. Not because we've been drafted, but because we have been called and we have dedicated our lives and our total being to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that dedication involves a sacrifice. It involves that which causes us to go the second mile. I firmly believe that. And it was my observation that there are all kinds of opportunities in the ministry today within our ranks of the Assemblies of God for men who are men of dedication to the cause of Jesus Christ. There will always be a place of ministry for those who are dedicated. For those who are looking for the system and for the church to use the church are going to have problems, and more so as we see the day approaching. For God is looking for those who will be dedicated to the task. The next element that is needed is patience. And I speak to myself here. This matter of being patient. Many times we... And I must admit that by nature I'm a pusher, and I realize this. But there's also this matter of having to be patient to allow God to work in the time frame and the schedule that God wants to work within. I believe there's that which we can get ahead of God, and also there's that which we can lag behind. But the beautiful measure is when we fit into God's time frame and these, our lives and our plans and our ambitions mesh with the program of God and God's time frame. It brings about that which is satisfying to our own heart, and it brings about that which God is pleased with. The next measure is this matter of decisiveness. If we're going to be a manage, we're going to have to be men and women of decision. Now, I know that many times this is not always popular, but the church is looking today for those who will be decisive, that are able to make a decision, believe in that decision that's been made, stand by that decision, and you will find that those that you work with, when they see that you are decisive, they will get behind it, they will support it, they will believe in it, because they have confidence that you're moving under God and that God has given to you the direction. And I think we can expect that from God, that God gives to us witnesses to our hearts that this is what we're to do, and we move in that direction. Lastly but not least, and please don't misconstrue this, when I use this terminology, and I use it, the matter of tenderness. I believe that we can be strong. I believe that we can be firm. But I also believe there's a place for tenderness within the management and the manager, so that we are sensitive to those that we work with. We are sensitive to the needs of people. One of the great difficulties and one of the great dangers is that we fail to be sensitive to the needs of humanity. we feel as they feel, if we're not careful, we can remove ourselves from this, and then we've become almost mechanical, and we will fail to minister to those that God has called us to minister to. Let's go on to this matter of priorities as we deal with the manager himself, as we look at ourselves. To remember that we are under commission from God. And to forever keep this in focus. Our general superintendent dealt on this last night. Brother James Hennessy in the pastoral session this morning dealt on it again, beautifully brought to us, that we are under commission. That priority needs to remain foremost and centermost for us. There needs to be a plan. One of the great tools the enemy uses effectively against the church is that we fail to have a plan. When we accepted the pastor to Brightmoor Tabernacle, one of the first things we did was sat down and tooled out a 5-year plan so that the board, official board, along with the various staff members could say that we were not endeavoring to go by hit and miss, trial and error. Hopefully we have a goal, but we have set some goals on that 5-year plan. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating a 5-year plan. I personally like it because I think it keeps it in a short enough perspective so that you can see the realization. And also, if these goals are reached, you can readjust and move on. Thirdly, there are some divine lessons to be learned. And Moses was taught that by Jethro here when he said, "You'll wear away. You weren't meant, Moses. It wasn't meant for you to do it all." I suppose that's one of the dangers that we are confronted with constantly. Is it easier for us to do it than to have someone else do it? Can we do it more effectively? Well, this is where the business of management comes in, and staff management. Fourthly, if we're going to manage effectively, we must be on the job. We must be on the job. I think that it's only fair. I remember back a couple years ago, I sat down with a board in one of our better churches in the state of Michigan, and they were having some problems. The pastor was in the meeting with us, and the board said to me, "Brother Trask, all we ask is that we know when we can get a hold of the pastor." And I said, turned to the pastor, and I said, "Pastor, that's a reasonable request on this board's part, that they know when they can get a hold of you. You're pastoring a large enough church that they need to know, this congregation needs to know that you're going to be in the office from such and such a time." And he said, "Well, Brother Trask, I'm out doing hospital calling." Well, I said, "That's commendable. But there are times that you must be on the job. If you have a staff, there's times that they have questions, there's problems arise, and they need to be able to converse with you." And there's only going to be effective management as we are on the job, and that requires discipline of time, discipline of our time, so that we utilize, as we've seen projected on the screen just a moment ago, this matter. Let's go on to this responsibilities of the manager. First of all, it's our responsibility to give job descriptions to our staff so that they know what is expected of them, so that we, from time to time, can evaluate what they're doing in relationship to the job description that they received. This matter of responsibility of the manager for the action, I believe that it's a rightful request that we see to it that the action is taking place, and that those under us, those who work with us, beside us, those who are on the team, have the job description so the work of God can go on. Let's look at this matter of communication with the staff. Be sure that you have the facts. And then let the facts be known. I've always said that an informed people are a happy people. Many times church problems arise not because there were real problems, simply because the people didn't know what was going on. And they were having to second guess, they were having to surmise, they were in wonderment as to what was transpiring, and it isn't fair to them. I had one of my head ushers the other day said to me, we were sitting in a conference, and getting ready to go into a building program, and he said, Brother Trask, he said, how much money do we have in the savings account? Or maybe I shouldn't ask. I said, Brother, you have a right to know. That's no secret. And I divulged the figure to him. They have a right to know what's transpiring. This matter of information, communication. It is proper, it is right that there be a regular staff meeting with your staff. It's well that you have an agenda so that you cover the items in the staff meeting that are important and that you can stay on track and you don't go too far adrift. Now, I think there needs to be enough flexibility in the staff meeting so that there can be an expression and input given. There needs to be personnel meetings. There needs to be planning sessions where you have that input. If you're going to have those who are serving on the team, then the scripture says in the multitude of counselors there's wisdom. We need that input given to us. I'll give you a case in point. We discovered that our visitation program was not effective. And it was held on Tuesday night. We had about 20 people coming. And for a church that size, that's not a good percentage, I assure you. And I was sharing it with one of the men that was regular at the Tuesday night visitation. And he said to me, he said, Brother Trask, maybe we should get more people involved. And I said, Doug, I think that's exactly what needs to happen. He said, and as I see it, the Tuesday night eliminates a lot of people. And, of course, he knew the congregation better than I knew it, having been there for several years. And I began, that little seed dropped, gave me some ground to work with. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, used that, laid a message on our heart to ask how many people, how many families will give us just one call a week within that area. We'll assign the call. We'll mail the call to you. You make the call. Bring the card back. We'll sign another one. Now we have 80 families making one call a week instead of 20 people trying to make a few calls a week. But it's the matter of involvement, the matter of communication, having this input, that the seed that Doug Decker gave to me was that which caused that to bring forth. And I believe it was divinely ordained of God and was the answer for what I was looking for, but the Holy Spirit used the layman to put it within our hearts and put it within our minds. Committee meetings, board meetings, and then this matter of memos. One of the most effective ways of communication is a memo. I use it regularly. It might not seem important to you, but it is important to the staff. If regularly they receive memos, they know what's transpiring. It isn't logical and reasonable to call an entire staff meeting to discuss a matter that involves only one personnel or a couple, but a memo to them will keep them abreast, and they will have confidence that you are interested in them, they're knowing what's going on. So use the memos. Then, of course, if you're going to have communication, you also have to have an evaluating sessions. That's what Jethro did for Moses. He had an evaluating session with him. And he said, Jethro, what you're doing is, or Moses, what you're doing, it's wrong. It's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people. Now, I believe if you'll do this, Moses, God will bless you. And watch what happened here. In verse number 22, or 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. He said, Moses, it's your responsibility as a manager, as a leader, to involve these men to become the leaders that you need to have. I also know something else there. He recognized that not all men had the ability to judge 1,000, but some 500, some 100, some 50, and some only had the ability to judge 10. A good manager will see to it that we involve people. And it was touched on by our general superintendent last night, this matter, and I firmly believe this. I've experienced this time and time again. We have a host of people within our churches today that are waiting to be tapped and involved. In fact, we had a young couple that my Christian education director, myself, called in Sunday evening prior to the evening service. He works for Chrysler Motor Company. I've watched him the last month and a half, 2 months. He's been one of the first ones at the altar. Sharp guy. Chuck's got that ability, and he's been seeking God. And I said to the Christian Ed director, I want to get Chuck involved. He needs to become involved within the church's operation, no longer just not sitting on the pew there. We called him in and shared with him we wanted him to become a superintendent of a department. Here's was his reply. He said, Brother Trask, he said, about a month and a half ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, Chuck, look, you need to rearrange your priorities and become involved in the work of God. He said, I went in and put in for a transfer. I got out of that long hours. He said, Brother Trask, I'm working 8 hours a day. I have time for the family. I have time for the church. He said, this is an answer to prayer. I'm ready to go to work. Now, we could have let him sit sour and soak on the pew and never utilize the fella. And there, the church is full. I really believe that. The Church of Jesus Christ today is full of people that God spoke to Moses through Jethro. Look, it's your responsibility to put these men to work. They're there for you. Now, Moses probably never seen it before because he was doing it all. But God used the father-in-law to stir up his pure mind. Let's go on. It's our responsibility to share the successes of the programs with others. It's our responsibility to share the successes as a manager with the program, with others. When something has been accomplished by one of your staff members, don't you grab all the glory and all the attention, but share it with them. Let them have some. The business world says there's three ways to get a man to produce. One is to threaten him, threaten his job. Two is to give him a raise. And third is to give him a title. Well, I think that there's four, and that is has to do with appreciation and recognition and share with them. I'll tell you, I've watched people will go the second mile. They'll go the third mile. They'll expend themselves to no end if they know that you as the manager, you as the leader, are pleased and you're giving that recognition to them and you're sharing the credits with them. It's true. The accountability as a leader. We have an accountability, first of all, to the Lord. We have an accountability to the Lord Jesus Christ as to the responsibilities that he's given to us. The staff has a responsibility and accountability to you as a leader. And it's important that they are made to know of that accountability. Now, I don't think that you need to do it with a harsh and a mean way, but in a firm and a kind and a Christ-like spirit, that their loyalty and their accountability is to you as the pastor of the church. I appreciated my first board meeting at Brightmoor Tabernacle. It had been my custom working as superintendent in the presbyter board. You bring everything to the presbyter board. There isn't very little expenditure that you don't get authorization from them. I learned that. There was nothing wrong with that. But so I put an item on the agenda for the board meeting, and one of the board members spoke up. He said, Brother Trask, he said, you don't have to ask us about that. That's your responsibility. Just go ahead and do it. We don't want to be bothered those kind of things. I says, thank you. You won't be bothered anymore. But it was better that I find out than I assume. And to have this matter of communication. We have an accountability to the Lord, we have an accountability to the staff, and we also have an accountability to the congregation. I believe in this. I believe that there are these checks that are given to us, that if we live with observing spirits, not suspicious spirits, but observing spirit, we'll see what's transpiring within their hearts and their lives. Let's go ahead, move along. The methods of management. We need to, as I mentioned a moment ago, welcome new ideas, helps, and suggestions. General Motors has a suggestion program that they give sizable amounts. I believe the top award is $10,000 for the right suggestions. I'm not suggesting that necessarily, but I am aware that we need all the helps we can get today. Let's look at this matter of the needs as we are observing and observant of the needs of the staff. Jethro, in standing and observing what was transpiring, he said, Moses, you're not only going to have problems physically, but these people are going to have problems simply because you haven't delegated responsibility. He said, you will wear away. I'm sure that that can be true of many, simply because we haven't found it within our abilities to delegate some responsibilities. There needs to be physical time for rest, as the projection on the screen showed us earlier tonight. There needs to be an awareness of the spiritual of your staff. I think that that needs to be a concern of the leader, of the pastor, of the manager, that your staff is being ministered unto spiritually. You cannot expect them to minister effectively as well as yourself if they haven't been ministered unto. And I'm sure you're aware, as I am, that there are times that your staff has problems. And a good leader, a good pastor, a good manager will take the time to sit down with that person and let them know, look, you're more than just an employee, but you're one of our concern. We're interested, we're concerned for your own spiritual needs. We have had, both on a district level and on a pastoral level, you've seen them, you witnessed them, some tragedies that I believe could have been averted if we as the manager would have been alert to the spiritual need of those whom God has placed in our responsibility. And then, of course, there needs to be the awareness of the material need of those of our staff. When I shared with the board the fact that we needed to have salary review of the staff, they responded beautifully in granting to these men. And they made comment some weeks later. They said, Brother Trask, I see the staff is really putting their heart into this thing. And I said, yes, I believe that. Not because they're monetarily motivated, but it's a factor today that they must live with. And it isn't a fair manager that's only concerned about his own material welfare, but the welfare of those that he on his staff. I believe that you can expect a staff to stay with you. I believe that you can expect a happy staff as you see to it under God that they're taken care of physically, they're given time off, spiritually they're ministered to, and materially, the monetary one, the other aspects here. And then I like I close with this, what transpired there. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If God has given you a staff, he's intended for them to share the burden with you, not to have for you to bear the burden alone. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do today, and if we can become effective in this area, then God has more tools to work with than if we try to do it all alone. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen.